Blog Talk Radio.
Hey folks, welcome to Right from the Left Coast. My name is Linda. I'm your host today, and I'm broadcasting from Oceanside, California. Another 72 degrees out here. Beautiful. Slight ocean breeze, blue skies, and sunny. It's fantastic. We are brought to you by PatriotFamilies.com. That's our network for this particular show. That's PatriotFamilies with a YS.com. Come join us. And I just want to welcome everybody to the show, those whom I can't see that are not in the chat room, and Mike and Lonnie. Hopefully others will come in, and I'm glad we've got good sound. Oh, boy, what a jam-packed day. What the news for the past week or so has just been insane. These idiots with the plane, they will not stop talking about it. Oh, and if they do find the plane or wreckage or whatever, they won't stop talking about it then either, so. That will drive us crazy. So let's start with what I got to hear in church this past week, so we can get into some good spirit stuff here. Calm me down, because I got a lot of ranting and goodies to give you today. So this is John chapter 3, 1 through 17. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost, except God be with him. Jesus answered him and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So, thank you for listening to that one, and Yola, welcome to the show as well. So, okay, Nick, hi, very good to see you here. I'm going to go through the headlines and get through those, and it'll take a few minutes. Then I'm going to start getting some excerpts from Behind the Green Mask, which is the UN Agenda 21 by Rosa Khoury. And then I want to get into some really, really good stuff from the Black Book of the American Left. It's really amazing. So I'm going to get through some of these headlines because this is nuts. Everything that's come to me is just absolutely nuts. So here we go with the president who has been reduced to an insurance salesman. It says, headline, Obama to Hispanics, immigration people won't deport relatives if you enroll in Obamacare. This is just unbelievable. I'm going to go see if I can pull this up. It's graceful. President Obama is putting on a full court press during March Madness to push Obamacare before the, before the March 3rd deadline, 2014, and on Tuesday he went on a Spanish language talk to tell Hispanics that the immigration people will not deport their family who may be illegal immigrants if legal Hispanics sign up for Obamacare. Right, he doesn't care if they're legal. The White House has been emphasizing the point in recent weeks because it believes some Hispanics are not signing up for Obamacare because they are afraid that family members in the United States illegally will then get deported if they reveal that information in the applicant forms. Oh, my God. Obama went on Dave Portis, sports radio show and said that people should not hold back just because they're in a mixed family status, saying, you know, you qualify, you know, regardless of what your family status is. Unbelievable. It's, you can't even make this stuff up. So it's the next one. It says, oh yeah, they've got another headline. We saw this coming a mile away. Obama illegally increases bailout protection for healthcare insurance companies. Okay, let me go back to my next group. Hispanics, American delivery. Okay, I guess there's something going on with the internet sales tax issue, which could become an issue, especially that we've given our internet control over to the freaking UN, which I can't even believe they've done this. So here's the latest. It says, Main Street retailers have faced tough competition from online competitors, and federal government rules have worked against them. Utah Rep. Jason Chaffetz is leading an effort in the United States House of Reps to find a way to restore state control over sales tax collections and take the federal government's thumb off the competitive scale. The House Judiciary Committee held a hearing this week led by Chairman Robert Goodlatte from Virginia, and Chaffetz took to look at the issue and ways to resolve it. So in 92, retailers without a physical presence in a state have enjoyed a competitive advantage over retailers who do have a physical presence there because the former are not required to collect sales taxes while the latter are. This is the case even if the out-of-state retailer sells millions of dollars of goods in the state. So this advantage for out-of-state retailers comes from the U.S. Supreme Court decision in Quill versus North Dakota holding that while such taxes could be levied, they could only be done so if Congress authorized it under the Constitution's Commerce Clause. Here we go again. This has resulted in a court-imposed benefit to out-of-state retailers at the expense of those holding down real estate on Main Street. Okay, so one solution to get the federal government out of the business of picking winners and losers in terms of which sets of goods are taxed has been offered by Steve Womack from Arkansas called the Marketplace Fairness Act. Oh, boy. It would allow states to enter into mutual agreements to collect out-of-state sales taxes only if they chose to do so. Under the bill, retailers with more than $1 million a year in out-of-state sales revenue would be required to collect sales tax for the affected states if the states they ship goods to are parties to the interstate agreement that set standards for how these taxes are administered. Okay, so that goes on and on and on, and then it says, there is no need for Congress to block such measure for those states that do want to participate, so they're just going on with that. So I'm hoping that that has something to do with the, that new thing that's going on. Want to welcome Ron and Rod. Thank you for joining us. I'm going to go back to the headlines here real quick and see what we have. There was several articles that were making me crazy. Let's see if I can find that one. Hold up. Okay. Then they talk about the cloaking device. Oh, here it is. Oklahoma sheriffs react to an order to disarm at state capitol. Last week, Wagoner County Sheriff Bob Colbert traveled to Oklahoma City, the state's capital, with 40 other sheriffs from around the state, like they do every year, to meet with politicians and lobby. When they arrived, one of the state senators did not want the sheriffs to enter the building carrying firearms. They were told to disarm or leave. So here's the how they reacted. Hopefully this won't play. So everything was going fine. State Capitol building, everybody in that building knew who we were. It was one of the sheriffs. One of the senators who they wouldn't tell us complained we were in the building. He said the sheriffs were given a choice to disarm or leave. So we all packed up and left. This particular sheriff said, Colbert, he said, he doesn't know which senator complained, but he has his own beefs about the treatment he and his associates received. Were the people that we are the people that protect these others. In addition, Colbert said the politicians should be more concerned about improving state business than law enforcement officers who have to bring guns. If the state troopers are satisfied that we are okay in the building, sorry about this, I'm pretty sure that the legislators should have something else to worry about, such as the economy or something else. While Colbert acknowledged that some lawmakers have to apologize about the incident, the insult will be felt for a while. Pretty dad's sad day for me, he said. BizPak Review noted that a different account of the incident was reported in the Oklahoman, a paper which serves Oklahoma City. When the sheriffs entered the Senate gallery, the sergeant-at-arms asked the sheriffs to take off their guns or leave the building, the Oklahoma said. But a state Senate official says the sheriffs were only questioned briefly before being allowed back into the Senate gallery, still wearing the service weapons. So I guess that's the end of that particular one. Either they are anti-gun people or making everybody completely nuts. Let's see, where's the other one? There was, here we go. This was the Air Force, the Christians' religious speech, not legally protected right. This is horrible. I read this. I want to get through it. And then we'll take calls after I get through some of this other stuff. It says Air Force, Christians' religious speech, not legally protected right. So let's go on. It says, Christians in the U.S. military are being told they must forfeit their First Amendment rights. Bible verses are being erased from traditional dorm whiteboards, and military lawyers claim that legal protections for religion only pertain to matters such as clothing and growing beards. Oh, I wonder which sect that would be. Beards. But does not extend to any religious expression such as talking about one's faith or posting a Bible verse. Last year, Breitbart News broke the story of a campaign by anti-Christian extremists to suppress traditional Christian expression within the U.S. military. There were conflicting stories regarding the possible court-martial of service members who share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and confirmed reports of military chaplains being officially censored, as well as Bibles temporarily banned from the Walter Reed Military Hospital. After these stories went viral on the Internet, Republicans in Congress launched an investigation, then introduced legislation to specify that religious expression is a protected right for men and women serving in uniform. Although Obama originally threatened to veto the legislation, those protections were signed into law December 2013. Well, that was one small victory for us. Okay, let's see. Next case. This one. Guns, ATF. Okay, here's one. This is the one I kind of talked about a little bit on Bill's show, and this was huge. They keep talking about this because it's just been so awful. This is Ares Armor right here in Southern California. One's here in Oceanside, and one is in, I believe, National City. And I don't know if the article will come up, but we'll see. It says ATF raids Ares Armor to confiscate legally protected customer list. They want the customer list so they can go try to take their guns away. Let's see. I told you about the situation involving Ares Armor at the end of February. Now it seems that the ATF has tyrannically stepped in and raided our friends at Ares Armor, potentially exposing thousands of customers to possible raids by the rogue federal agency. This is one of the stories that leaves one with a sick, sinking feeling. If it has not already been made clear, the federal government just sent another message to gun owners. They will get our information and eventually confiscate our guns by whatever means necessary. If that means ignoring a restraining order or violating Fourth Amendment rights, they are not above doing that. So here's this next. Let me just get this real quick. On Saturday, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives raided Ares Armor in an effort to obtain customer lists that were protected by a restraining order. Ares Armor manufactures components such as the lowers that people use to build their own AR-15s. It has always been perfectly legal to do so, and through an ongoing struggle, Ares actually obtained a restraining order to protect the privacy of their customer database. They did, however, agree to turn over components to the ATF. That was not enough. On Saturday, it ceased to matter. So they, here we go. When BATFE agents expressed interest in a Southern California gun part and accessory store, it sought the protection of a federal district court. But on Saturday, agents raided the store anyway. Ares Armor sells what are called 80% lower receivers to allow a buyer to make his own AR-15 rifle. According to federal law, the term firearm includes the frame or receiver of a weapon, but one that is only 80% complete does not fall under that category. When ATF agents began nosing around Ares Armor and started asking questions, the store obtained a temporary restraining order prohibiting the agency from seizing its product line and customer list. A hearing was scheduled for March 20th to litigate the issue. However, on Saturday, ATF agents raided Ares pursuant to an ex parte order, an order obtained without notice to the other party, in this case would be Ares Armor, and did just what Ares feared, according to the amateur video below. So it talks about trickery. It appears that despite the judge granting the temporary restraining order on Wednesday, yesterday the ATF went to the judge ex parte meeting without the other side, meaning without the other side, in this case, Ares being present, and got a clarification of the prior restraining order. This clarification seems to give them the green light to apply for a lawful search. In my humble opinion, in order to have a change between Wednesday, when the original restraining order was granted, the ATF would have had to have alleged Ares was about to get rid of records, and that they, the ATF had emergent reasons for going in now rather than waiting till the full hearing that was scheduled for March 20th. Fox News reported earlier this week on the lengths that Ares had gone to try to protect against this happening. The owner of a California store that sells gun parts to build rifles from scratch is refusing to turn over his customer list to federal officials. Demetrios, owner of Ares in Oceanside, told Fox San Diego that BATFE agents are investigating his business because it sells AR-15 lower receivers, which contain the gun's operating parts. They said, either give us the 5,000 names or we are coming in and taking pretty much anything, which is a huge privacy concern and something we are not willing to do. That was the owner. The owner's attorney arranged for ATF agents to pick up the receivers on Wednesday, but the owner said he will not comply with turning over a customer list. Anticipating a possible raid, the company filed a temporary restraining order against ATF in an effort to prevent them from stopping them from confiscating their property. Anyway, it says, is this the way our laws are meant to be enforced? The ATF could not wait 5 days for the hearing. What has happened to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights? This was an obvious case of unlawful search and seizure, in my opinion. Vigilante Spectre Operation sums it up better than I could with the YouTube video, but I'm not going to do that. Yes, America, it's true. They are trying to take your guns, and they will stop at nothing to do so. If you have an AR-15, which you assembled with an Ares Armor lower, I would suggest that you prepare for a letter or a visit. So that's what's going on in my neck of the woods. So I have, I think it's Bill or Lonnie. Hi, guys. Welcome. Are you there?
We're just okay. Calling in to listen. Okay. Our internet's out again tonight. Went out right before the show came on. Last night it came back on right after the show.
Okay, so, I'm just kind of fixing stuff. I hope everyone can still hear me. Yeah, just speak up a little bit. That's basically – anyway, those were my headlines. I wanted to get through them because it's crazy what's happening. I'm hearing – sounds like you guys are in a wind tunnel. Okay. Are you guys are you clear? Hello?
Yeah.
I can barely hear you. But anyway, I wanted to get through a couple of things, and then I'm going to take a bunch of phone calls, and you guys can chime in too. This particular book, and you'll like this, Bill. This is the one Rosa Curie did, and I finished it out, but I wanted to give you guys an idea of where she was going with this. So Ron says in the chat room, we need more guns. Yeah, I couldn't believe. In fact, one of my friends, my shooting partner here in town, she bought that particular package from that particular gun store here in Oceanside. So I'm hoping she's going to be okay. Anyway, this particular heading in this piece of this book by Rosa says, Democrats against UN Agenda 21, which is actually basically her website. She is a registered Democrat, and in the first part of the book, she describes herself and her partner, her female partner, as gay people. So, no big deal. But some of the stuff you'll see that it's kind of funny because she starts seeing things the way, you know, clarity starts forming when you see how the other side or the actual far left is doing. Anyway, I'm going to quote from her book. Shortly after I started researching about UN Agenda 21, I began to wonder if we were the only liberals which is a hijacked word, who were aware of it and were taking it seriously. How could that be? Democrats own property too. Liberals don't want to live in a corporatocracy. Free people don't accept totalitarian rule. Civil rights are a vital element of our freedom. Why were people saying that UN Agenda 21 was a right-wing fantasy? What was this polarization all about? Was it to keep us from looking behind the green mask? We definitely knew we were onto something because of the tremendous amount of effort that was put into trying to discredit and attack us. Yes, that would be the Alinsky model. And so I'm going to give you a kind of a background. What she's talking about, this is called, there was a PACE bond issued in Berkeley. And PACE, if I go back to, let's see if I can find this baby, it's in here. They're talking about the Green Energy Loan Program. And she says, sponsored by ICLEI, this Green Energy Loan Program has to be one of the biggest boondoggles ever created. They have one of these loan programs is called Property Assessed Clean Energy, or PACE for short. It is a way to have the green dream. So it says the first PACE bond was issued by Berkeley, California in January 2009, but 20 states have legislation allowing their cities and municipalities to implement PACE programs, which are voluntary for homeowners. This is fundamentally a game changer. This is the bad guy, Alan Strachan, a co-founder and managing partner of Green Energy Loan, a firm that facilitates PACE bonds, told attendees of the Wall Street Green Trading Summit in March of 2010. Cities are not structured to be lenders. They have neither the staff nor money to do this, Strachan said. We can't wait for each local jurisdiction to get it together. Wall Street could help solve this problem by coming in strongly and aggressively with money that is commensurate with the very low risk, Strachan said. I think we can put PACE on steroids, and I think we have to. End quote. The potential market for PACE bonds, sometimes known as voluntary environmental investment bonds, could exceed $500 billion, but some proponents believe that estimate is conservative and it could reach as high as $5.5 trillion, with a T. Going back to Rosa, as I said, there's big money in green. Besides the big money backers, you'll find electrical solar installers and other unions funding politicians who try to mandate these programs. It's going on in my own city council, believe me, I've heard this before. Lisa Maldonado, the executive director of the North Bay Labor Council, AFL-CIO, on her Twitter page says, she's just your average labor boss working for the revolution, all about the class struggle and waiting for the great leap forward. Yep, you just can't make this stuff up. Did she mean Chairman Mao's great leap forward? What is the heck is happening with the unions? And Rosa says, I was proud to be a union member for almost 30 years, but I had no idea what they were doing with my dues. How about you? Are you paying dues that support candidates? Who decides who gets your money? Guess what? In 2001, at its national convention in Chicago, the AFL-CIO formally adopted a resolution denouncing sprawl, which would be part of A21, and urging all unions to support smart growth. Why? Because they say that rural and suburban areas do not support union labor as much as urban areas do. So I think I'm losing people. Hi, FT, because they can't get in. Bill dropped because they're having trouble with their line. They'll try to get back in, I'm sure, and the others will too. Rod says, and they support Democrats who take their jobs away, like with free trade. I'm sure. Yeah, this was an incredible book. She tells people what to do, the whole nine yards, to combat this stuff, and that they've had quite a success with it. This particular this one is good, guys. And after I'm done with these couple passages, I would love to take calls. This is David Horowitz, and it is the Black Book of the American Left. And he says, why I am no longer a leftist. My life as a leftist began with a May Day parade in 1948 when I was 9 years old and lasted for more than 25 years until December of 1974 when a murder committed by my political comrades brought my radical career to an end. That would be the Black Panthers. My parents had joined the Communist Party along with many other idealistic Americans in the 1930s. That was before I was born. Just as today's leftists believe that the seeds of justice have been planted by the Marxist Sandinistas in Nicaragua, my parents and their radical friends saw them blooming in Soviet Russia, which many of them visited during Stalin's purges. Not even the testimony of a Bolshevik legend like the exiled Trotsky could persuade them that they were deceived about the new society they thought they saw under construction in the socialist state. Confident that their own ideals were pure, my parents and their political friends dismissed Trotsky and others whose experience had caused them to know better, smearing them as counter-revolutionaries, anti-Soviets, and renegades. 20 years later, when my parents had reached middle age, their arrogance betrayed them and took away their self-respect. In 1956, power shifted in the Kremlin, and my parents, along with the rest of the progressive left, discovered that the socialist future they had served all their lives was a monstrous lie. They had thought they were fighting for social justice for the powerless and the poor. But in reality, they had served a gang of cynical despots who had slaughtered more peasants, caused more hunger and human misery, and killed more leftists like themselves than all the capitalist governments since the beginning of time. Welcome, Cal. That was really, really quite telling. I like what he said because it reminded me of our friend Frank Winkle when he used to talk about the evils of those communist regimes and how they've always ended so horribly. This next couple paragraphs here, it says, since ideologies of the left are commitments to an imagined future, to question them is to provoke a moral rather than empirical response. Are you for or against the equality of human beings? To dissent from the progressive viewpoint is not a failure. Wait a minute. To dissent from the progressive viewpoint is not a failure to assess unwillingness to embrace a liberated future. It is therefore to will the imperfections and injustices of the present order. In the current cant of the left, it is to be racist, sexist, classist, a defender of the status quo. That is why not only radicals, but even those who call themselves liberals are instinctively intolerant towards the conservative position. For progressives, the future is not a maze of human uncertainties and unintended consequences. It is a moral choice. To achieve the socially just future requires only that enough people decide to will it. Consequently, it is perfectly consistent for progressives to consider themselves morally and intellectually enlightened while dismissing their opponents as morally repulsive reactionaries unworthy of the community or the community of other human beings. And then it talks about the social justice. It says modern or postmodern, or better still, post-communist conservatism begins with the recognition that this agenda and the progressive paradigm that underpins it are bankrupt. They have been definitely refuted by the catastrophes of Marxism, which demonstrate that the quest for social justice pressed to its logical conclusion leads inexorably to the totalitarian result. The reason is this. To propose a solution that is utopian, in other words, impossible, is to propose a solution that requires coercion and requires absolute coercion. Who wills the end wills the means. The last piece. The liberal ascendancy that dominates the current horizon is a popular front of these two groups. Their victories are visible all around us under the banner of expanding rights. They have transformed the idea of America to secure liberties to a claim for entitlements. They have expanded the powers of the state and constricted the realm of freedom. They have eroded the private economy and stifled individual initiative. Through race-based legislation and the concept of group rights, they have subverted the neutrality of the law and the very idea of a national identity. So ingrained have the premises of the old left become in their new liberal clothing that in post-Cold War America, conservatives are now the counterculture. That is why we must think in other than conservative terms when confronting the challenges that face us. We must think of ourselves as heirs to John Locke and Burke and Madison, who faced a similar challenge from the leftists of their time, and with them we must proclaim, we are the revolutionaries demanding a universalist standard of one right, one law, and one nation for all. We are the champions of tolerance, the opponents of group privilege, and of communal division. We are the proponents of common ground that is colorblind, gender equitable, and ethnically inclusive, a government of laws that is neutral between its citizens and limited in scope. We are the advocates of society against the state, the seekers of a dramatic reduction in the burdens of taxation, and of redress from the injustices of government intervention. We are the defenders of free markets against the destructive claims of the socialist agenda. And finally, we are the conservers of the constitutional covenant against the forces of modern tyranny and the totalitarian state. I concur. I want to thank David for those pieces. And anyone that would like to weigh in on that, please call in. I would love to hear from all of you. Mike says, Hobbes is the father of American conservatives that Alexander Hamilton pushed. Wow. The other parts that were fascinating in this book were his musings, because he was involved heavily with these people, were the Black Panthers in the 60s. The things that he talks about of these Panthers, he makes the correlation, because all these guys were pretty much radical left. They were actual thugs. Of course, his first clue should have been the armament that these people had. I mean, these guys had automatic weapons. They had rocket launchers and all kinds of nonsense. Kind of sounds like he was in Afghanistan when he was describing it. They're just absolutely, with all of the lefties around them, people who are proponents of them, they are highly insulated from the law and from the rule of law. And so Horowitz, what woke him up, of course, was the lady that he had hired as a secretary in this particular, I believe they were in Oakland with this sect of the Black Panthers, taken out and murdered. So, he figured out who did it, and he knew who did it. He just couldn't prove it. He equated these people and their ideology and their mental states with Stalin, and he was absolutely correct, because the only difference was one was highly more funded and more efficient, and did a hell of a lot more damage. However, This book is fascinating. So from time to time, I will be reading through it. And if anyone wants to call in with the news of the day, again, I don't want to speculate on the, what do you call it, stupid airplane. They haven't found it, so they're going to, you know, beat it to death. They're going to drag it out. They're going to keep saying it. They're going to flood the airways with it. And then when they find whatever they find, they're going to make us nuts for another 2 weeks. So please, anyone with great stuff to talk about, I still have 25 minutes. Mike says, I did a big piece on that on YouTube in 2011. Was that the Black Panthers, Mikey? Or the Radical Left, or both? It was absolutely astounding, the things I had learned of the backroom deals, the people who protect these people. So let's face it, folks, the Black Panthers are not your friends. They're cop killers. They're evil. Oh, Hobbs and Locke? Oh, okay. Awesome. I kind of like John Locke, kind of like von Mises and Hayek. He mentions them in this book as well. I have a lot of respect for David because he's done his homework. He's turned it around. I believe that by his lineage was from, they came from Poland, and he is Jewish, but he has read cover to cover the Bible. He's turned a page there too. So bless his heart and praise the Lord. So I want to welcome Echo, ECCO, and Cal Living and everybody. And Doc, welcome. And please call in 646-378-0321. I'd love to hear from all of you on what I have said and what I've talked about today, and adding any of your own items of on the agenda that you'd like to. We do have today, I should get ready at about 5:20 after I have my dinner. I'm going to run down to the council meeting and see if I can speak in front of the city council. There's two issues. One is the building out of a golf course, and it is city property, but they want to adopt this. The guy who's wanting to buy this land or develop this land is from out of state. He has done projects that are very in Washington State, which are all about Agenda 21. So, and he's actually going to be there. So it should be an interesting meeting. The other item is our airport noise. 4 years ago, when I moved in here, I had, except for my neighbors driving me nuts, I had relative quietness. And for one of the years, the second year after I got rid of the drug dealers, I had this blissful peace. And then the waste management decides to come at 6:15 on Mondays to pick up the trash, and they've stopped that now. Too many complaints, I'm hoping. And then, of course, the airport noise started. So, and there's a lot of, and these guys buzz by. It's like Top Gun, you know, buzzing the tower. It's like pretty bad at 7:15 in the morning. So we all get to publicly speak at the city council today, which will be the reporters will be there, and they will have the cameras rolling for that as well. So. Mikey's talking about the people on the plane. So yeah, they could have been deprived of oxygen. That would have been horrible. But I don't know which is worse, going into an ocean or a side of a mountain, or I don't know. It's horrible what they've done, and who knows who's responsible. So again, please call in. I'm taking calls. We have 21 minutes left. Mikey would love to hear from you. 646-378-0321. Lonnie, Bill, if you can call. Cal, Ron, please call in. There was some speculation on that that thing that the governments, all the governments, and the news media, of course, and our military are keeping secrets from us. Oh, imagine that. So, you have to save your voice. He can't call in, so everybody call in. I got some time left. Imagine that they're keeping things from us. Oh my gosh. Yeah, so the news media, they're just useful idiots. But I know, Rod, just somebody. Echo, I heard they crashed in the South China Sea. I heard they went into the Indian Ocean, that they're land in Pakistan, that they're in Iran, that they're God knows what. I mean, they're in Pakistan, they're in, who knows where they're at. So until they find whatever they find, no one's going to know. And of course, there's people always talking about we could have another Amelia Earhart thing where we're never going to know what happened. So, okay, if you guys want, let's see if I can get back to these real quick. I know there's just so much going on. Let's see. Go through them. Raids, sheriffs. Oh, here's one. The one about the religion of peace, and then I can take calls whenever you guys come in. This says, Muslim extremists force Christian girls to watch as their mother is beheaded. Lovely. Let's see if I can find it real quick. It'll come up. The religion of peace knows no bounds. Islam's reign of terror throughout North and Central Africa continues, and yet another disturbing story escapes the dark continent to teach us the truth about Islam. In southern Somalia, members of Al-Shahab terrorists, close allies of Al-Qaeda, recently took the time to show their community and the world what Islam did to Christians. Local leaders arrested two people who they believed to be Christians for the crime of being Christians. A 31-year-old mother, Sadia, and her 30-year-old cousin, Osman, were by the local Al-Shahab militants and brought to the town center along with Ms. Omar's two daughters. Before killing them, Al-Shahab militant announced, we know these two people are Christians who recently came back from Kenya. We want to wipe out any underground Christian living inside jihadist area. According to an area resident whose name is undisclosed for serious security reasons, Omar's daughters, ages 8, only 8, and 15, were witness to the slaughter, sources said, with the younger girl screaming and shouting for someone to save her mother. A friend helped the girls, whose names are withheld, to relocate to another area. We are afraid that the Al-Shahab might continue monitoring these two children and eventually kill them, just like their mother. The militants from Al-Shabaab, which has vowed to rid the country of the Christian fellowships, which meet secretly, as leaving Islam in Somalia is punishable by death, became suspicious of Omar and Mog due to their irregular attendance at a Friday mosque. Prayers, sources said, make no mistake, this is Islam. This is not extreme Islam or fascist Islam, it's just plain Islam. All over the world, this is the dominant form of the religion. Look at Saudi Arabia, Iran, Egypt, Libya, Yemen, Somalia, Nigeria, Syria, Lebanon, etc. The only place we find anything resembling moderate Islam is here in the United States, and even that could be better described as lapsed Islam. If we wish to stand against the rising tide of Islamic fascism, we must begin to recognize what we are truly fighting against. They will not show us any mercy, and they will push us to our very limits. Are we ready for them? Okay, let me go back to the studio. Okay, I'm going to pick up Ron. Hey, how are you?
Hey, Miss Linda. Interesting topic that you're talking about right now, and I apologize. I was in the midst of negotiating on a squirt gun, so.
Oh, the Islamic situation?
Yeah, you know, on my way home tonight, I was listening to Mr. Levin.
Okay.
And, you know, he had someone on his program that we'll have to give Mr. Michael credit from the Higher Truth Radio that Mikey and I had discussed before, and he played a clip and put some links in on his show, Waleed Shubat.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you want to see the true face of Islam, and this isn't coming from me, it's coming from a man who grew up a terrorist in the Middle East, go to shoebat.com,
mm-hmm.
shoebat.com, and he has video that has been brought out of Syria, the Free Syrian Army, you know, that group that your government... that you are supporting with your tax dollars,
right?
Of them doing human sacrifices in what they call slaughterhouses.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Where they take these human beings and hang them upside down like you would an animal and disembowel them and all kinds of different things.
Horrible things.
And while they're doing that in preparation for doing it, they're giving an incantation in Arabic that is an offering to God.
Of course.
So they're in some ways, you know, mocking the right. traditional sacrifice that
you
is talked
this,
about in the Old Testament.
Yeah. I know that's true, Mikey. He said they eat the human hearts. Well, this was quite the practice in the 1500s in the Aztec area with the priests. I mean, it was just the country was blood red. I mean, with people, what they were doing, horrible things. And nothing's changed. You know, we've got.
Well,
man to
the thing is, we have become so emasculated
mm-hmm.
in this country. It's just, I mean, I see out there in California where a local gym, you know, asked one of the patrons to put on a shirt because she was intimidating the other patrons at the gym with her toned physique. I mean, it's just the most, you know.
I know, I know. What they're doing in California is, yeah.
There has to be a place where we draw the line. And, you know, I'm all for practicing, you know, Christianity and kindness. But at the same time, it should not be a suicide pact.
Right, exactly. No, there's, you know, I do believe we have a God-given natural right to defend yourself. I mean, even the bears get to do that. So come on, people. You know, you're allowed to protect your own life. That's part of being human and being on this earth. So, I mean, if we didn't protect ourselves, I don't think the species would have lasted very long. What say you? I mean, really?
Well, you know, I think that we're on our way to becoming extinct anyway, at least as freedom-loving Americans.
Oh, man, please don't say that. So,
I mean, seriously, you look around and it's just it's stunning.
Oh, I know. Especially what I fight here in California, and I know tonight when I get out of here and try to get down there to see what they're doing at the city council meeting, and there's going to probably be a lot of folks there who are opposing some of this nonsense. You know, I don't know if I'll have a chance to speak or not, but we, you know, I can see what they're doing. Yeah, we've got several items. I mean, I see this all around me. I'm living in Agenda 21. I am living it. It is evil here, right here in my own city, and all through this the San Diego, it's going on. And I know it is in the Bay Area because this is where Rosa's from. She's from up there, and many people who are fighting this are up there too. So, I mean, this is what we're up against, and it drives me crazy. That's why I wanted to start reading this book by Horowitz so that I can start identifying who's who in the zoo and using the correct terminology, because I think it matters, you know. And I spoke a little bit about it on Bill's show yesterday, talking about what progressive means, that they were the ones that hijacked the word liberal. Or the term, you know, liberalism, and they've turned it into their own mess. So, you know, and hey, Horowitz was born into communism, as if you heard me read the first part of it. He knows. The guy,
oh, yeah, no,
God,
I know of Mr. Horowitz and his past.
Right,
you know,
and
I wonder,
he's denouncing the people like the Black Panthers and equating them to Stalin, and I think he's absolutely correct.
Well, I think they're...
I would call them the
militant black arm of Islam in the United States.
Yeah,
but
you
know, I'd probably be labeled a racist or something for that.
Oh,
I didn't notice. You know, I haven't paid any attention to the news. I've been absolutely infatuated with chasing down a very specific firearm that I want. And was there any more kindergarten food fight exchange between Putin and the U.S. today? Or
I have not heard that much about it because I haven't been on the news today. I had stuff to do, like take my mom to the beauty parlor, and I was trying to prepare for the show, et cetera. But what Glenn said yesterday is what I said today and yesterday as well. You've got the KGB Putin who's... He's a ruthless dictator. He and his minions are laughing at this president, the empty suit, you know, the sock puppet of Valerie and the far left, in my estimation. And our president has been reduced to an insurance salesman for his ACA. I mean, that's all you – what are you going to say? This is what we have.
You know, I still say that it's a bunch of damned theater. That, you know, this has to do with economics more than it has to do with anything else.
Yep.
And, you know, as I was talking Monday, well, let's see, today gold was down another $25 an ounce. Silver was down another $20 an ounce. And yet crude oil has come up over $100 a barrel, and the dollar is up, but everything else is in the tank. So, you know, it's a dangerous game that's being played. And, you know, we know for a fact that those in control, they own the markets, they own the money. And imagine, if you will, a complete turnaround, gutting the whole, you know, you kick every scumbag out of D.C., and you start over with a new constitution. Let's say we get the, you know, the Levin crowd, and we get a constitutional convention. We rewrite the whole daggum thing, right? As long as you leave the culprits in charge of the money and the banking system, you haven't changed anything.
No, that's correct.
Yeah, and what you're seeing, I think, is an attempted corporate takeover, and you've got, you know, a couple, two or three corporations that are vying for purchasing or a hostile takeover of the Ukraine, and that would be, you know, the U.S., the EU, and Russia, or the BRICS, if you will.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, like you said, there's a currency war going on, and, you know, we just don't know when all these shoes are going to drop. There's so much going on inside the idiotic Congress talking about, I mean, the Social Security and Medicare and the Obamacare. And, you know, they're talking about skyrocketing insurance premiums. Well, why the hell wouldn't they skyrocket? You've got ACA, you've got Medicare, Medi-Cal, and Medicaid all through this country. You've got meddling by the government, which always makes a mess out of everything. When are we going to learn? I mean, these social programs, they don't work. They always end in ridiculousness. It's central planning. I hate it.
The people that have the ability to get up, go to work every day, and pay are being squeezed from every possible angle.
Oh, my God. They're killing people.
Absolutely killing us, and I mean, you know, and there's just no end in sight. It's not just the government that has their hand in your pocket. I mean, it's everyone is vying for every cent out of your wallet, you know?
Well, the price of food is skyrocketing, especially here in California, and it's not I don't think it's the fault of the people at, you know, Albertsons or Ralph's. It's what's going on with the damn government. They screw with stuff. They've got farm subsidies. They've got ethanol subsidies. They've got GMOs. They've got all kinds of craziness. The EPA's nuts. They've destroyed the Central Valley here in California. No wonder things are skyrocketing. They've got it's nuts.
You know, and then you add on top of that the problems with the weather. You got a drought. You've got the U.S. you know, cattle herd, for lack of a better term, it's the smallest it's been since the 50s. You've got a problem with, you know, some kind of pig virus. It just doesn't bode well for, you know, the average Joe out there.
Right. So, no, it doesn't. And, I mean, I'm doing the best I can, you know, trying to cut back. The good news today is I only have one more tiny, what you call it, those credit card things, and I will pay that off probably by September. But I paid off my car today. I don't owe these clowns anything. Yay!
That's awesome. That is awesome.
So with that money's going to go stashed into the safe, and if I need tires, I'll do that. But I'm not getting in debt if I can keep away from it, I swear. I mean, just do what I got to do. Someday, if I have to, I'll pay cash for something. I'm not playing this game anymore. I am whittling it down.
Well, hon, I see you've just got a couple of minutes left, so thanks for letting me call in.
Oh. Absolutely. Thanks for calling in, and I want to thank everybody for being here. Cal, you, Doc, Mikey, Lonnie, Rod, Yo, and Echo. I think that's how I pronounce it. Anyway, yeah, it's pretty nuts out there with what's going on. And a lot of freedom, Rod Luke. Absolutely. Thanks, Doc and Rod, for congratulating me and Ron as well and all the rest of you guys. And I want to say that tomorrow is two radio programs, one at 6 p.m. Eastern. That would be Miss Terry Rowland on Patriot Education. We love her. We must support her. And tomorrow night on Thursday, that would be Higher Truth Radio. That's Mikey B. And we're going to support him. And I'll try to get links out to everybody on that. That will be 9 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. So I'll get everybody involved in that. So we want to save your voice, Mikey, and drink water and honey and lemon and maybe something very cool to go with it. Play a little music, and I want to remind everybody it is patriotfamilies.com, and loved having everybody here. It's been great. Let's see if I can find some fun stuff to play on the way out. Oh, yeah, Rod was asking about my diet. I'm doing great. I'm really within my my realm. I lose about 2 pounds a week, and it's neat. I'm really happy. I'm praying that it continues. Let's see if I can find this one. I kind of like this one, Keep the Change, because it's cool. Thanks so much. Thank you so much for saying it was a good show, guys. And I love you, and I'll just play this a little bit, and then we'll get going.
I'll keep my freedom, I'll keep my guns, try to keep my money and my religion too, try to keep on working, try to keep on smiling. I will keep my Christian name, and y'all can keep the change. I'll keep my heroes, pictures on the wall. I'll keep my family safe, you bluff and I'll call. I'm gonna keep my big V8, keep my friends the same. Keep the government out of my business, and y'all can keep the change. This country sure as hell been going down the drain. We know what we need, we know who to blame. United Socialist States of America, how do you like that name? I'll keep the USA, and y'all can keep.
Thanks, guys. God bless, and see you tomorrow for Terry and Mikey. Good night.